Excuse me.
Wow, that's a nice burp.
It was okay. I wasn't.
Now I can't edit it out because I referenced it.
You know, I can edit out the reference.
Nope. Too late.
No? All right, sorry.
It's not how it works.
Can't edit out anything.
Nope.
Just throw everything against the wall and out pops an MP3.
Yeah. That's right?
So easiest job ever.
Welcome to episode 131 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey, and sorry, ladies, but I'm taken. And I am the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and he is taken by me.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and you can be my Yoko Ono.
Oh, that's a terrible thing. I don't think anybody wants that.
Yeah, I don't.
Ever.
To that proposition, I say, oh no.
Be weary.
Let it be.
Be very weary.
This podcast has clearly gotten off on the correct foot. This is the right foot to start off with.
Of course.
Yoko Ono. Yoko Ono.
It happens when you have two left feet.
May be the only Twitter personality more bizarre than Jaden Smith. She's up there.
Yoko? No, she doesn't. She's not on Twitter, is she?
On
she?
Twitter?
Oh. If you have not seen Yoko Ono on Twitter, you have not lived.
Oh, she is.
You have not lived
until
you have seen Yoko Ono on Twitter.
Sometimes you want to meet somebody like yourself who had an equally incredible life. You want to talk to her/him. Negative thinking is a luxury we can't afford. Today is Mother's Day in Iran. Tag your tributes to your moms.
Let's just skip the listener email discussion question and take turns quoting Yoko Ono tweets.
Wait.
I have a couple here. A dream you dream alone is only a dream. A dream you dream together is reality. Here's the other one I like. Walk barefoot on the grass and dance in the wind. Do it in your mind.
I'm personally a fan of no two people have the same mouth.
How about this one? A blind man asked, "What's an elephant?" A young boy led the man to an elephant, let him grasp the tail, and said, "That's an elephant."
Wait, here's one.
This is seriously powerful stuff.
Today is Mother's Day in Slovenia. I guess that's kind of culturally relevant. So I don't know.
Ooh, it's never too late to start from the start.
The good place to start, I guess.
Would be the start. Yeah, that's... all right, I'm done with this. I can't. I'm following her. I am officially following her.
Me too.
No longer.
Screw you guys. I refuse to follow her. I can always find her anytime I want to. Follow your heart and repeat. I am beautiful. I am intelligent. I am healthy in mind and body. I love wearing high heel shoes, stockings, and hot pants.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely. On many occasion, you could find me in such attire, specifically playing video games.
There you go.
Segue away.
Your words will run around forever to reverberate in the ocean of the world like a pebble you dropped in the water. Now I'm starting to notice consistent themes because just last week she said you should throw a pebble into the water just to watch its ripples. I read enough of Yoko Ono's tweets to notice recurring themes. That means it's time to stop. Let's talk about old video games instead. Have you guys played any old video games? Please, for the love of all things, tell me. You have played some old video games lately.
I played some Doom. Yeah, I played some Doom.
Doom.
I tried to play.
Yes, let's please. Yes. Oh,
Doom.
Oh God. Oh,
great.
Like it's. Oh, can't. Oh, every time you play is like, why aren't I just playing this constantly? And why aren't they just continuously pumping out more levels for this game?
Thank you very much.
A valid question. That's such a good.
Like, they're coming out with Doom 4.
Why?
And I saw I saw the trailer. Yeah, graphics look great. I don't care. Just spit out some wads.
Yeah, there's such a difference though between like a modern three-dimensional good-looking first-person shooter. I'm not saying that's bad. Don't get me wrong. But I think there's a unique sort of eerie creepiness about those two-dimensional sprites that are always facing you in those old-style games, you know? Like, you can't get away. They're always looking at you.
I mean, when Doom... was it Doom 3? Yeah. When Doom 3 came out, everybody slammed it for the flashlight. And... part of me was like, it is kind of silly, maybe, because it's like, oh, we can't just put the flashlight on the gun and shoot the gun. That's the whole idea, is that you can't do those things. Like, it's something very simple that they were like, you know what? We're going to take that out. And now you're just in utter blackness, and you're just going to fire hoping that you hit something. I mean, when Doom originally came out, like, we were easier scared back then than we are now. Like, we've kind of matured into that. So by having the emptiness of black... it makes things a lot more scarier. It was perfect. Like, the game mechanic was... how else would you make that game? You know what I mean? Like, how would you try to spearhead a revolution from a genre that they created from the ground up? Like, that, take away light. I mean, that's perfect. People are silly.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty good, Doom 3. I mean, I haven't played it myself, but I've heard people who have played it that it's solid and it... pays proper homage to the series.
It's creepy.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, good job, Jason.
Yeah, Doom.
No, don't award him for his pettiness.
I gave him no award.
Mediocrity.
I gave him no award.
What?
You don't even ding people anymore, just... Hunter. That's not even like a metaphor or a euphemism. Oh,
what? It's been there the whole time.
It's been here the whole time. I haven't really found
monster.
A reason.
There.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can take
just,
it all back.
Can you just do it once?
I'll take it all back.
Once. Just once for me, please.
You just wait. Just a little bit. Just want the
yeah.
The little.
Just the tip. Oh yeah. Okay, so.
Just the tip.
For anyone who's new to the series, Hunter used to do that all the time. Not. In terms of, like, several times per episode, but every episode you could count on one or two dings to signify, like, something that was really good that happened or was said. I kind of miss it, so I'm glad to see it return. It's been, like, a year, so that's...
yeah.
It has been a momentous week for us.
Yeah, we've sucked it up for a year.
Yeah, yesterday, April 8th, because we're recording this on Thursday, April 9th for the audio version, people. April 8th, Review a Great Game Day. That went pretty well, right? Right? We were a trending topic on Twitter right between like Apple Watch and Five Freddy's or something like that. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, that went pretty well. So, yeah, good week. What'd you play this week, Hunter?
I played a little of Ninja Gaiden.
Nice.
Just a little, little Ninja Gaiden. I don't remember. I was talking to somebody online. I don't remember who it was, but I kind of made the just the passing comment of like, I don't think I played a lot of Ninja Gaiden as a kid. And somebody commented like, yeah, no, nobody did. Like, that game's just rough. And I'm like, was it that bad?
Nope.
I know it was a difficult game when I was a kid, but is it really that bad? So I popped it in. I died almost immediately. I'm like, all right, you know. Let me crack my knuckles. Let me get ready for this. Let me take my pants off because they're constricting.
Mm-hmm.
Let me really get into this game. So I start playing it again, and I started to remember certain things that would just infuriate me as a child. Not a big fan of the knockback. I think everybody knows that.
Yep.
Yeah.
But also not a fan of the knockback to the point where you could become a literal ping pong ball between two enemies. And I'm sitting here, and I'm watching this happen, and I can do nothing to stop this.
It's just boom, 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 boom. So my subconscious is like going back through my childhood files. Like, I don't remember any of this. Like flipping through. And I remembered the exact area that I could never get to the end boss of the second level. Just there's a small section where you got to jump on a couple of broken pillars. There's a guy with a machine gun. There's an old lady who looks like she needs a you know, to cross the street, but really she's throwing daggers at
yes.
you.
Yes.
Like it all hit me at once, like right in the face. And I put the game down. I was like, no, I'm done. I'm not playing this. And I like ran over to my computer and I'm like, I'm just going to play something that I'm good at. So, you know, I'll just start playing Fez or something. I just played Fez for a little bit. And I was like, no, I'm going to play this game. And I went back and I died the exact same area.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only person who does that. Like, you suck at one game, you're like, oh, I gotta even this out. I'm gonna go play some Marble Madness for an hour. Suck it.
Yeah, I need something that I can just completely crush under my heel.
Yeah, because
so I can feel like a man again.
My self-esteem has been completely destroyed. I've been emasculated by a digital pastime. I need to restore some self-confidence. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that I can come back to the game and continue to play it, because I would like to get farther in that game, just because everything about that game is so tight. Like, everything is pixel perfect, and the music is great, and the cutscenes are really cool, and the graphics are awesome, and you're a ninja. I mean, come on. Yeah. I would like to play the first one.
Preach, brother.
The first ninja game. I don't know if there is one, but... who knows?
Cool. I didn't play anything new. I just played River City Ransom some more until I wrote my new Great Game Day review on it. So
you say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, it's not. You're right. It's not. I really like the game. It's just what we talked about last week.
You played a game.
So, yeah.
It's better than not playing the game.
Myself off the list. I want to get back to streaming a little bit, and I also want to play some Wind Waker, not streaming. I just want to play it on my own. Is that some stuff that might be coming up? We'll see.
I've tried streaming. I find it changes how I play the game.
Yeah.
Like, I end up doing stupid things. Like, well, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to be safe. Gonna, like, say I'm playing a shooter, I'll be safe. You know, take some cover. If I'm streaming, like, oh, I got to show off. Yeah, I got to do these crazy jumps and get shot in the head.
I got to entertain my audience, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you end up dying in the Butter Building.
I couldn't even get it to work.
Kirby's Adventure. I had some troubles getting it to work, but I eventually did. If I can get it to work,
I just need to mess around with it some more.
Yeah.
Any human being can do it. And even, like, some smarter chimps, dolphins, and parrots can get it to work if I can get it to work. To be honest.
Yeah, but don't they have human brains? I mean, that kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Speaking of human brains, we have a listener email discussion question.
Woo!
From longtime listener fan friend Jonathan Higgins. You can find him on Twitter at RadicalDefect. Goes like this. Good day, gentlemen and listeners. Whenever I catch Bailey saying good morning on Twitter, I typically respond with retro gaming music that works in conjunction with whatever he says good morning to. If he says good morning, suspicious-looking characters, I respond by sending a link to the song Suspicion from Final Fantasy IV, and so on. I can typically respond with music to suit anything he says, because my personal video game soundtrack collection, digital and physical, is vast, to say the least. Do you all own any video game soundtracks? I'm especially interested in physical discs, because that means you probably paid a hefty sum to import something from Japan. The soundtracks are sometimes way more expensive to obtain than the games themselves. What are some of your favorite retro gaming soundtracks of all time? My answer is Chrono Cross. I challenge anyone to come up with a better example of beautiful music. Play Link's Awakening, Jonathan Higgins. He stuck a couple questions in there.
So legally, we're talking legally obtaining this music.
I don't. Do you have it? I don't think that was the question. No. Do you have any video game soundtracks?
I don't. I mean, I have one now. Like a physical one. I've got the Duke Nukem.
Ooh.
Music to score by the official Duke Nukem album.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty, I'm jealous.
Pretty impressive.
Pretty slick.
At one point, I also owned the orchestrated two-disc, 36 tracks release of Twilight Princess that I had imported for more money than I care to say. But sold it for more than I bought it for.
Nice. So, nice.
But I always download like just entire gaming soundtracks, you know, like many of them I use for like ringtones on my phone, but it's like, oh yeah, I got them. You know, I have like the entire soundtrack to Maniac Mansion and Contra and Street Fighter 2 and Castlevania and Streets of Rage and wow. Like the list, just every single Mega Man song ever created by every cover band, especially the mini bosses. I have that on my phone because I love Mega Man music. So,
me too.
But, yeah, there's probably only two that shut your mouth, man. Yeah, there was only that. Just those two. Those are the only two I've ever purchased.
To any newcomers to the series, I'm going to explain that inside joke as well. Jason doesn't give a rat's nose about Mega Man music. He really doesn't care at all. He in fact, his claim to fame, this is a true story, I believe it was on an airplane, he once played Mega Man 2 without the music. He muted the game. That's how little this man cares about Mega Man. He does. Don't believe him when he's like, oh, I like Mega Man music too. No, no, no. The man does not play video games. No. We're not sure how he got on the podcast. That's part of the whole gig here at One More Podcast. We don't know where Jason came from. Some frosty Canadian alleyway, I suppose.
Hmm.
We found him in a basket.
So somebody gave him the Skype link so many Thursdays ago. And that was it.
Jason, how about you? Video game soundtracks. Ones you like, ones you have.
I don't own any physical ones. I've got a bunch of digital ones. Okay. The Humble Bundles are especially good because they give you the soundtrack normally when you get the indie game.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
If I pick a retro game though, and I've brought this game up a couple times on the podcast, it's Raptor Call of the Shadows.
Yes,
it's got this really awesome MIDI soundtrack. It's kind of got a rock aesthetic, if you will. Like, you can tell, like, they're like, you know what? This would have been awesome if we had guitars here, but we don't, so we're going to use the MIDI.
Nice.
Bring on the MIDI.
Glorious MIDI.
Glorious MIDI. If you want a good example, look up game music track number 3. It's really nice.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably my favorite retro soundtrack.
I'm not a big music guy, so I'm not a great person to answer this question. What? I mean, music's cool, I like it, but I've never been like a big, yeah, I want the music from the game kind of a I don't know. I do own one physical game soundtrack, and that's for Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. That's only because that's the bundle they had left. I wanted the bundle with the gold controller, but they were out of that bundle. They had soundtrack bundle. I was like, soundtrack bundle? That's intriguing. I bought that. Listened to the soundtrack once. I said, that's cool / somewhat enjoyable. Don't think I've touched it since. Not because it was bad. I'm just not a big music person.
The hell?
I'm odd. What can you say?
Weirdo.
I love video game music.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, I have no qualms with, like, switching on the NESGuide.com's, like, radio
Yeah, they do.
And just be pleasantly happy for hours on end.
I do like them because they strictly play like the game music. That's cool. That's a
right.
Nice, that's
yeah,
a nice...
there's no like iteration of it or.
Yeah. I am wearing a One More Castle shirt. That's cool.
Nice.
Wow, that's the old one.
Yeah, this is the Midwest Gaming Classic prototype. Shirt. This is the original first 1MC shirt. There's only like four of these, right? There's like three, maybe? Mm-hmm. There's not many of these. This is primo supremo stuff right here. But if you want your very own One More Castle shirt, you can't get this one anymore. It's too late. You missed it. Be sure you don't miss your chance again. Go to onemorecastle.com/shop. I recommend the Flying Cheap Cheeps shirt. It's pretty much the coolest retro gaming shirt on the web right now. It's pretty swanky.
I don't know, man. That Bomb Arrows.
I don't get the Bomb Arrows one. Bomb
Arrows.
I don't know.
What?
I never.
He's adorable. Bomb Arrows on the end of that arrow. Adorable.
I'm digging myself into a hole tonight. There's going to be like a coup. By the end of the show, there's going to be, you know, Hunter's going to be spearheading a revolution.
Sweet.
I see, right? Yeah. I see people lighting their...
Things are happening.
...torches as I speak. I believe they are grabbing. Could that be pitchforks? Yes, those are pitchforks.
Wow, this Raptor Call of the Shadows is amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't you write about it for the website?
I think I did. Are you listening to the soundtrack or watching video?
Yeah, no, I'm listening to the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, they definitely wanted guitars. And they're like, bring up the MIDI keyboard.
You got the MIDI. This will have to do.
It's a guy wearing like a piano tie and a Jerry curl. So yeah, Bomb Arrows.
Yeah, how does he not get that shirt?
I mean, I think he was the one who made the joke.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bomb Arrows t-shirt. Man, we've got to... People need to buy these shirts. There's anyone there. Let me do the math.
I love how when Bailey drops off the feed, Jason's audio quality shoots straight up.
Way to go.
I was like, oh my God, it's like he's right next to me.
Taking up my bandwidth.
Sorry.
Taking up my bandwidth.
What can I say? I'm a bandwidth.
Do you get the Bomb Arrows?
We've got 23 Bomb Arrow shirts left.
I don't get...
How do you not get the Bomb Arrows from Legend of Zelda?
Link's Awakening. I get that. What I don't get is why of all references is that the one you put on a shirt? Like the only reason I'm okay with it, like in my soul, is because we already have two shirts. We have a very general website-branded shirt.
Come on.
We have a very broad appeal finding cheap shirts, so we thought we might as well put in like an ultra-narrow niche insider reference nuanced shirt. And I think that's the purpose it served. It's like the hipster shirt of the ones we offer. It's like the one someone would get because they don't get it. They'd be like, oh, I want to look really cool. Like, I have a lot of retro gaming cred. I have no idea what this shirt's about, so I had better get it so that when I go to the next con, people can huff out their noses slightly harder than usual as they pass me by. That's my working...
Not to mention that Bomb Arrow is absolutely adorable.
It is.
And that's all that matters.
Whoever did the graphics did a great job. That guy, some kind of wizard. That's fine.
The wizard?
The wizard...
The wizard.
There
you go. Yep. Absolutely adorable.
So it's time for a music break.
We'll be right back.
And we're back! That was We're the Resistors by Eric Skiff. If I may say so, another legit quality chiptune track. That was good stuff. Can't go wrong with a guy named Eric. You can find his stuff at ericskiff.com/music. And the cool thing about his stuff is it's free to use. Like, if you want to use it in a game or another project, you can. Just make sure you give him credit. And, you know, don't be a complete penis face about it. Like, you know, give the guy his due.
Oh, jeez.
So, and in case you're wondering, yes, Skiff is spelled the same way you would spell it for a Star Wars reference. S-K-I-F-F. So that's ericskiff.com/music. Eric Skiff, everybody. Eric Skiff. So, speaking of Star Wars, I think it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Right? Yeah, it totally is. The Retro Showdown is, let's face it, the best part of this here show. See, here's how it works. I pause dramatically. And before the show, each of us three co-hosts has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, one at a time. And then we'll basically spend the rest of the whole episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the episode page on onemorecastle.com when that goes up Monday morning. So it's democracy in action. It's a retro gaming democracy. We are founding a form of government right here on the podcast. 2 weeks ago, episode 129, our theme was Review a Great Game Day. We were celebrating that. We were getting pumped up for it. And Tom Hall joined us for a monster four-headed episode. I don't know how this happened, okay? We broke the number of votes. I don't know if Tom Hall just promoted it heavily or what, but then he should have won. I don't know how this happened because I checked it earlier in the week, later in the week. Me and Tom are going back and forth. I don't know how this happened. But there's someone on a roll. His name is Jason. He won with We Love Katamari.
Yes.
I don't think.
Oh, come on.
Right? I don't think. To make clear what this means, he got 18 votes. I got 14. Hunter got 8. Tom got 11. We had 51 votes in total. So thank you to the fans out there for getting out to the polls and voting and, you know, putting your right to vote in action and making democracy work. Let me make one last point here. I normally don't spend this much time going over the results, but you have to understand, We Love Katamari, that game choice beat, these are the three games it beat: Yoshi's Island, Maniac Mansion, and Star Fox 64. Yeah. I question the credibility of our own show. Either that or I completely defend it because it's completely unpredictable. That's a crazy... I would have never guessed. So, Jason, what were you going to say about it? Because that's...
I'm just going to say there's two words that both start with a J. And they are Jason and Juggernaut.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. I tip my hat to you very hesitantly.
Sorry, man.
It also bears mentioning that for April Fool's Day, we had some shenanigans on One More Castle, which was temporarily transformed into One More Comrade. What? Yes, we had a communistic takeover, and episode 129.975321 was recorded. We actually had three One More Castle contributors, Chris Schwartz, Jonathan, and Alex. They went at it, and in their showdown... Chris Schwartz won with Space Harrier, the arcade version. He beat out Tomba on PS1 and Slam City with Scottie Pippen, which I voted for. And he got more votes than both of them combined. So Chris Schwartz, great job out there! He is the author of the Raising a Gamer series. It's actually one of the better series on the site. So good job, Chris! Excellent work, but we have business to take care of tonight. the blood feud between the three of us has to end somewhere. Maybe tonight is the night it ends. Maybe tonight is when one of us finally just really just puts a stake in the heart of this thing. The theme tonight is games with a bus. Somewhere in the game, there's a bus. That's our commonality, our theme tonight. Games with a bus. So that's our theme.
Yeah.
Yep. Traditionally, yep. Jason is our timekeeper. If you have 1 minute on the clock, Jason, I believe I'm ready to go.
Oh, you may begin.
Screw you guys. I picked a classic title that everyone will recognize. It's part of a storied franchise, a series that I have put many hours into myself. This series, in fact, has some of the best, hardest-hitting action you will find anywhere in gaming history. The particular game I brought tonight is Double Dragon, which was released in April of 1996, exclusively in Japan, for the original PlayStation. That's right, it's Double Dragon on PS1, the fighting game, with some of your favorite characters and secondary enemies, and it's basically like Street Fighter, but it's Double Dragon. It's Double Dragon for the PS1, and there's totally a bus that sometimes drives by in the background of one of the stages.
Done time.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
I really want to play this game.
It's pretty sweet.
All right. Jason, what am I doing here? What am I doing?
It's up to you. I'm definitely not bringing the game you think I am.
Ugh.
I swear to God, I am not bringing the game that starts with a D and ends with a bus.
Damn it.
I swear to God.
It starts with a D.
I know, it's fine, it's fine.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
You may begin.
In the late 1980s, Fisher-Price began to license their name and toys to several different companies who made various different licensed Fisher-Price items. One of these companies was Game Tech, that made Fisher-Price computer cartridges for the Commodore 64 and the 128 NC64 mode. The game is School Bus Driver. Designed for children ages 3 to 8, the floppy disk is entitled School Bus Driver by Game Tech for the Commodore 64 PlayStations in 1988. The game allows children to drive the little people to school through various scenes and obstacles. School Bus Driver for the Commodore 64.
All right.
Little people.
Little people.
Little people.
All right.
That's all I got.
Yep.
That's all I
bring in the thunder tonight. That's what the thunder sounds like.
You're right, because a lot of people pity children's games for very stupid reasons. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Sorry.
Yeah. I guess I'll begin. 1994 was a bizarre year. The planet Pluto was still a planet. Field trips were, well, how do I put it? They were a bit dangerous. Health and safety laws apparently didn't exist. You see, for this class trip, you're not only joining your teacher on an adventure, you're joining her in her magic school bus as you explore the solar system.
Wow.
That's right, kids. It's the magic school bus explores the solar system. After Miss Frizzel takes you into space, she decides, you know what, I'm going to leave you. You then have to spend the majority of your time trying to find Miss Frizzle across the dangerous solar system, all the while being led by her pet iguana, who somehow gained the ability to speak in this game. Join all your friends, play some mini games. Batch school bus.
For the PC.
Yep.
So First of all, there's a lot of directions we can go tonight. We can drive, we can bust this right down. First of all, I can't remember the last time I was so confident in a victory in the Retro Showdown. I'm on the mountaintop right now, gentlemen. You're gonna have to knock me off because I'm in position to win it.
I had Fisher Price as a kid.
There are a lot of Magic School Bus fans out there. That's my fear. A lot of people like that Miss Frizzle girl. There's a lot of fans of that show. A lot of people have fond childhood memories. So yeah. Jason's my threat.
Miss Frizzle.
Now, Hunter has a chance because he explicitly mentioned that his game is a children's game, and I know for a fact, as a retro game reviewer that has reviewed a few children's games, people place them on a really weird pedestal. Well, I don't know about you guys, how your reviews work and how your review styles are, but when I sit down and play a game, and it's not fun, like I sit down, I'm not having a good time, I'm not enjoying it, I wish I was doing something else, that's not a quality game in my opinion. But some people are like, but wait, it's meant for children. I'm like, screw that, I don't care who the intended audience is. I judge it based on my experience. That's the whole point of me writing the review. So, Hunter has a chance because there's a lot of idiots out there. That's what I'm saying.
Jeez.
Right?
I think I have a chance because my game is good and fun.
Nope. Yeah.
Bailey, I mean, you're just angry that, once again, you brought a game which was originally developed
by Technos, the game made River City Ransom. It has legit credentials here. It's not something you can assault, question, erode. No. Within the building blocks of the foundation of my argument, the developer, that's a stone cold tight sealed case to be made. You can't touch it.
Once again, you've brought a game designed to originally run on a much more powerful system, and yet you've brought the watered-down, crappy PlayStation version.
Oh, and it's got that stupid zooming camera. Why did people think that was a good idea? It doesn't make the action more intensifying. Like, it just gives me a headache.
I don't think people are as hung up on it as you, Mr. I get headaches from playing video games, you old man.
I mean, yeah, sometimes.
Nothing wrong with me, too. That's why I stopped playing Hotline Miami, too. I had a headache for 2 days. I've been playing it for 4 hours. It was awful.
Yeah. It's tough. Can this even be considered a Double Dragon game? Let me explain what I mean, though. Let me explain what I mean. Not just because it has the title.
Are you going to make the Yoshi's Island isn't a Mario game argument? Are you really one of those people?
I mean, I was two episodes ago. Can I not be on this episode, too? So. Do I have to throw all of my conventions to the wind and just bow before this pile of dribble that came out on the PlayStation 1? There's a reason it never was released outside of Japan. I mean, if you're watching any kind of gameplay footage with this game, it more than likely was not even meant to be a Double Dragon game.
Yeah, because, you know, when I'm on the lookout for trashy bullcrap games, the place I want to look is Japanese exclusivity. There's never been a great game that's only exclusive to Japan. Oh, imagine
Thank
that!
You.
That would be so
Thank
weird!
You. Gosh.
If a game never came to North America, despite it being really good. I've never heard of that happening.
Yeah, like Magic Eyes. Yeah, that would have been a great game. If it was
Michigan Report from Hell.
Clearly out of market here. Won the showdown.
Double Dragon for the PlayStation.
Michigan Report from Hell won. I still can't.
Yeah,
I know.
Jason, you have but a fan.
Can we even say that, though? Official. I think. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I think Jason won that showdown. It wasn't his game. Come on.
Okay, but here. Okay,
come on.
Okay, but I normally don't go this far, but I'm going to go ahead and say I should win this week because at least I was creative enough to find a game with a bus in it rather than just do a Google search for games with school bus literally in the title. Come on, guys. Work a little harder in your research.
What? Didn't you get the memo? Oh, it was a bus game. Like, I said I wasn't bringing Desert Bus, and I didn't.
That would have been a superior choice.
And I could have rambled on about Desert Bus a hell of a lot more.
Because
I could have made up a lot of stuff about that.
I don't know. I mean, Magic School Bus was a great cartoon when I was growing up. It's a great series of books. It was actually one of the very few educational books that I enjoyed reading as a child. But do I want to play a game? Like, why can't it just stay in the median it's supposed to be in? I can't even name how many video game based movies were released when it's like, you know, it probably should have just stayed a game.
Okay. I hear you. But my counter argument would be that Joshua Caleb in the live stream comments is currently posting what appears to be the theme song from the Magic School Bus television series. I don't know how the tune goes, so I'm just going to read the lyrics as he's presenting them. Come on, ride the Magic School Bus! Seat belts, everyone! Cruising on down Main Street, relaxed and feeling good. Next thing you know, you're seeing octopus in the neighborhood? Surfing on a sine wave, swinging through the stairs. Take a left at your intestines, and your second right at Mars. I said stairs. The word he wrote was stars. That was a verbal typo. A speako, if you will.
I was going to say, is that a thing, a verbal typo? Oh, I remember this song.
Magic School Bus.
Oh, so good. So good.
I hate you guys.
I mean, I think my game was a good pick.
No, you brought
you
a
drive a school
game.
Bus.
I brought a fighting game.
Humanistic. It has a face.
Video game. Like, I brought a real game. Like, people could sit down and have fun playing. You guys are like, this is a big joke.
Okay. What? All right. Okay. No. Here's why my title is supreme. As you're driving this humanistic school bus with eyes, a nose, and a face, which is creepy as all get out. You can drive the bus backwards.
Wait.
Drive it backwards.
Did you say your school bus has a face?
My school bus has a face.
So does mine.
It's a living being. Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
You both picked school buses with faces. My game actually has a little bit of, you know, originality behind its choice. You guys
it's another
school bus game I can
thing.
Find. Fighting games aren't crappy. Fighting games are fun.
No, it's a spin-off of the Double Dragon series.
There is nothing wrong with spinning
even
off.
Worse, it's based on the Double Dragon movie. The movie was based on the arcade game. So it's a spin-off of a series
is
that is based on a movie that is based on a game.
No.
Yes, this is terrible.
Here's where I stand on the fighting genre, just in general.
I look forward to
I am a big fan of fighting games. But there is a clear distinctive difference between a good fighting game and a bad fighting game. There's no such thing as an okay fighting game. It's either really bad or it's really good. It's either Street Fighter 2 or it's Shaq Fu. Yeah. It's either Mortal Kombat or it's Double Dragon on the PlayStation 1 that was never released outside of Japan.
I can name three games right away that are worse than Shaq Fu. Fighting games.
Right, but there's still bad fighting games in general. There's no such thing as a mediocre fighting game.
I think Shaq Fu is mediocre. I might be alone. Might be the only one.
Shaq Fu is really bad.
I'm going to keep that opinion to myself. I'm not going to talk about my fondness for Shaq Fu.
I mean, I refuse to get rid of my Genesis copy, but I'm just saying.
The original King of the Monsters only had 4 selectable fighters. Not that you can't make a good game
but
a little selection, but it wasn't good.
Like, I feel that this game, the reason that they made this game was because they really wanted to develop the versus mode in the original Double Dragon for the NES.
They made an honest effort at it, too.
And they just...
It's a legit fighting game. It has combos, the graphics are on par with fighting games of the generation. I don't see what the big deal is. It's just because
what does it do differently, though?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Does it let you go
into
space?
I'm not saying it's revolutionary. No, Jason. I mean,
but in a fighting game,
my
I'm
game
kind of
doesn't go
new.
Into space like your game does, Jason.
What the hell?
Does your game pick up kids to take them to school? I didn't think so.
If it did, would we be okay with that? I mean, it's a fighting game. Street Fighter Buzz! Come on, more... kids, get in! I'm going to fighting school!
Didn't Billy or Jimmy actually make it into one of those?
Hablooken!
King of Fighters? Were they in the King of Fighters?
Hablooken! They were in Super Spike Z-Ball. The appearance you're thinking of is when Billy and Jimmy Lee formed a volleyball team for Super Spike Z-Ball.
No, I am.
Yes!
I am very aware of that. Trust me, they were my go-to team. No, I thought that one of them made an appearance in the King of Fighters games. I could be wrong.
I don't know. I know. You're right. Whichever one wears the red pants definitely appeared in something. I can see it in my head. I know what you're talking about. But was it? I don't know. Dang it. Oh, I know. It was
like
Street Fighter.
I can't remember.
The PS1. Just kidding. My game's fun.
You mean Double Dragon?
So the cool thing about my game, we don't do this enough. Like actually talk about the cool stuff about our own games. I'm actually going to do that tonight. That's something we should be doing on the show. The cool thing about my game is that the enemies you remember from the Double Dragon games, like Abobo, the lady who has a whip, she has an actual name in this game. Like you can play as those characters, like specialize in them and learn them and get to know them. And it's cool. It has some depth to it, you know?
No.
No? Okay, I tried. Jason, what's cool about your game?
Okay, listen. So you go to space. You can explore a bunch of planets. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, the moon, blah, blah, blah. Even Jupiter's moon, Saturn's moon, Uranus's moon, Neptune's moon. You can interact with a satellite called the What's It? Once you click on it, you play a mini game where you have to collect giant tokens. They're called Miss Frizzle tokens, and they have pictures of her face on them. If you collect enough tokens, you can put them in the Frizz Finder to find Miss Frizzle.
So what you're saying is even the mini game is a collect-a-thon. A boo.
It's right up Hunter's alley.
A yarf. That's true. Hunter probably would like him. He would probably take that
but
game
it's in space.
And rub it on his face and be like, oh, I love this game. That's what Hunter would that's do weird. With Magic School Bus. Yeah, it's you.
I don't think we would. That's just a terrible idea.
Your idea. Miss Frizzle.
Frizzle tokens. Frizzle finder.
Landing on planets. You can see how many Earths you can fit in the sun
how many
moons into the Earth.
Yeah. About two?
Two Earths in the sun?
No, two moons saying? In the Earth. The Earth
I have no idea.
The sun, like,
I don't think I've played this since 1996.
100,000 so. Times.
It was great, though.
Hunter,
I borrowed it from my library.
See, that's legit. That makes sense. Of all the games to borrow from the library, of course it would be Magic School Bus. Of freaking course.
Yeah, awesome.
Hunter, what's cool about your school bus game, Mr. Unoriginal?
You are a school bus driver picking up kids.
That's pretty
much
it.
I mean, if you're a Fisher-Price kid and you had Fisher-Price toys and you recognize the characters, I mean, that's huge brand recognition for a child. I mean, I would fantasize about being a school bus driver. I think we all have. I wasn't smart enough to think about driving the school bus backwards. That would have been cool. You know? I did the little vroom vroom sounds. Now you can actually be the school bus driver. You can play and pick up your friends. There's something wrong with the bus. All of the kids are happy that they're going to school. That's ridiculous. Well, like they're pumping stuff into the bus. Happy smells into the bus to make the kids happy.
I don't know where you're going with this. Please keep going.
Rage of Dragons is what I was thinking. It's not a King of Fighters game, but it's a King of Fighters-esque game that has Billy and Jimmy in it.
Yeah, right.
Never mind. Eric was wrong. Bailey, not Hunter. Hunter is the juggernaut, but for the school bus driver for the Commodore 64. All hail the juggernaut.
Hunter.
Juggernaut! Sorry.
Bailey.
Yes.
Remember when you brought another crappy
Crappanese game?
Yeah. A crappy Japanese fighting game.
No. Whatever are you talking
remember
about?
Remember when that happened?
No. Nope.
Remember when you brought it for an inferior console?
Nope. No instead crappy of a, you Japanese know, the arcade or fighting Neo Geo. Game for an inferior console. Don't remember ever doing that. Nope.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, what happened?
Didn't go well.
I look forward to breaking the trend, my friend.
There you go.
Yeah.
I am up against two juggernauts, apparently. Might as well call myself Juggernaut. I mean, you guys are so unoriginal, you can't stray away from school. You both pick school bus games. I can't believe.
But no, we both picked school buses with faces.
Yes, we did. It makes them more human.
I don't want my bus to be human. I want my bus just to be something in the back. You guys, like, took this theme, like, you're like, I want the bus to be, like, an essential, like, of all the things to wrap a game around, a school bus, come on.
Yeah, school bus.
I want school buses kept safely.
Cruising USA did it.
As a mere accessory. Yeah, so did, what was that game that came out a couple years after Twisted Metal trying to ape on their style? Vigilante 8. Yes.
There was a school bus in there.
I almost brought that game as well.
Yeah, it's not a bad game.
I usually
game.
Got the guy with the different hot dog style. On it.
Different style.
Have you played the Sim City Twisted Metal ripoff?
What?
No. It's called Streets of Sim City.
Is it a vehicular
you drive
combat?
Around? Yeah, your vehicle has like cannons on it.
What?
Streets of Sim City.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
There you have it from Jason Lamb himself.
Machine guns.
I'm gonna go ahead and say thing. Final arguments. Jason, other than sentimental attachment, why should anyone vote for Hop on the Magic School Bus?
Well. As the old saying goes, if you're cruising on down Main Street and you're relaxing, feeling good, the next thing that you're seeing, octopus in the neighborhood, Magic School Bus.
Final That's argument. Why you should choose. Hunter, why should anyone vote for the worst Fisher-Price game since Firehouse Rescue?
You should vote for the school bus driver, the Commodore 64. Because who wouldn't like to see a school bus driving backwards filled with screaming kids?
I will say.
I know I would.
I like how that's your hook. You can drive it backwards. And people are legitimately like,
you can drive it
what?
Backwards.
What?
What? That's legit.
Do you know what year that came out, Hunter?
It was like 88.
Okay.
Happy birthday to me.
Jason. New world, magic bus.
Baby so I should leave Jason. Choose Double Dragon, Bailey.
You should choose Double Dragon because it's a frickin' sweet, super fun fighting game from the Double Dragon series. Has some of your favorite characters in it, and it's not actually broken or terrible. Like it's a competent fighting. I'm not saying it's revolutionary, but it's a fighting. It's not a bad game. It's double. Come on. I like how that went from.
Come on!
Like, genuine feelings to desperate pleas in like 4 seconds. That's our showdown. That should be an interesting one. If I lose, I'm going to be pissed. But if you. If you're the one who's pissed out there and you want to send us an email about it, please do. The email is podcast@onemorecastle.com. That's the email address for any discussion questions you might have. We need them because we do a whole segment on them. So please send us emails. podcast@onemorecastle.com. But Bailey, I've already sent one before. Did I say it's against the rule to send another one? Preemptively feeling guilty for stuff you're not even sure is wrong yet? Like, just, no, it's fine. Send us an email. Gosh, what is your problem? Not sure where that went.
Word.
Awkward. So, also, seriously, I wasn't joking earlier. We have cool shirts, wormlocasa.com/shop. I'm still jazzed up about Review a Great Game Day. Go ahead and mark it on your calendars for next year, April 8th, because I'm pretty sure after the success of this year, we'll do it again, I think. In fact, we'll probably go ahead and do Review a Bad Game Day on August 8th. Maybe with a new wrinkle this year. I don't want to make anything official out of it yet. There's some good talks going on. Hunter, anything the audience should know about?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter.
That's a great thing. Jason, how about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lin. And you can watch the Magic School Bus possibly on PBS.
Possibly.
Or YouTube, I'm sure it's on.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. And if any of the audio version listeners, if you ever want to catch the live stream, it's a zany little show we have. It's always a lot of fun. You know, unedited and everything. You can catch us Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Central. I believe that makes it 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Is that right, gentlemen? I always get it.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So, live stream. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. I want to give a special shout out to those who tuned into the live stream tonight and left comments. People like Joshua Caleb, Valerie Minnick, Jonathan Higgins, Brent Jareski. Actually, he didn't leave comments, but he did watch. So, like Christopher, we had people watch who didn't leave comments. Thank you to those people too. Christopher Swartz, apparently Eric M. Hunter. Good. The point is, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in. And audience, last but not least, just remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.